This is Jason Marsden, voice of Duke from G.I. Joe Renegades. You're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yo, Joe.
Hey, it's Jesse Rass here, and you've made the great escape into comics by jumping inside the pull bag today.
All right, folks, episode 574 is here. Syndicated content from another comic review, Jesse Early's podcast that I am lucky enough to be a co-host on. So Skybound Entertainment, G.I. Joe number 2. You'll hear what we think of the second G.I. Joe issue, and that's what's in this episode. After that, hopefully, I will be returning to talk TMNT with Joe Reed. I don't know yet. We haven't figured that out as of this recording, but we will figure that out. And thank you for listening, as always. Make your greatest game into comics, and here's the review.
This is another comic review, episode 38, recorded December 22nd, 2024. Another comic review. Welcome to another comic review. My name is Jesse, and as always, I'm joined by TFG1 Mike of GeekCastRadio.com.
Hello. Yeah, you got to watch out with that rotten fruit. It goes rotten a lot.
Coming up on that 24-hour cast on YouTube, right?
Oh, no. Hell, I couldn't even finish the 31 days of 31 podcast. I gave up. You're getting 23 days of 23 podcast. I'm burnt out. It's the end of the year, and I'm burnt out. I went too fast, too hard on it, and just like, I'm like 6 days behind right now. I'm in the middle of all kinds of editing and everything else, and yeah, no, it's
you still got time, man. 13 days? Not 13 days. 11 days.
Something like that. Whatever.
We're recording this on December 20th, so that would be 11 more days.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah. Yep. So we are here to discuss G.I. Joe number 2 by Joshua Williamson, Tom Riley, Jordi Belair, and Russ Wooten. Quick synopsis from ImageComics.com. The biggest comic book launch of the decade continues. That's all capitalized, by the way. With an exclamation point, Cobra Commander unveils the next phase of his plan. Meet the Valkyries, the newest Cobra Special Operative Unit. As they race to retrieve the new mysterious weapon, will Duke suffer his first failure as the leader of G.I. Joe? Dun, dun, dun. And my quick rundown, this is terrible. We open where issue 1 ended, with a Rock and Roll's smoldering corpse laying on the ground.
Pretty much.
Which answers the question as to whether or not he survived the laser fire from the last issue.
Nope.
As Cover Girl runs over to check on him, I think he's dead there. Duke comes flying in on a Cobra Fang, blasting anything that moves. As the Cobra forces return fire and destroy the Fang, Duke lunges out of the hulking mass to take on Mercer. We cut to Cobra Commander and Destro marching around and talking about the shard that the Joes were sent to protect and that Cobra was sent to steal. Cobra Commander sends in the Valkyries to clean up the mess, but Baroness busts in and offers support. Clutch attempts to use a Cobra laser gun, but a failsafe causes the gun to explode as Cobra makes off with the shard. Injured, battered, and bruised, the Joes recover in a hospital while Colonel Hawk visits and introduces the team to Risk. As a fight between Duke and Risk breaks out as a result of verbal jabs by Risk, we cut to Springfield, where Cobra returns with the shard. We close with a mystery Cobra troop walking around Cobra HQ, where upon removing his helmet, we learn that he is, in fact, Clutch, who has managed to sneak into enemy territory. Oh. So, thoughts and review of G.I. Joe number 2.
Biggest burning question of this issue. Mr. Williamson, sir, I am directly talking to you. Which Springfield? There are many Springfields. There's Springfield, Illinois. There's Springfield, Massachusetts. There's wherever the hell the Simpsons live. Which Springfield?
It's that one. It's the Simpsons one, so we don't know. You didn't see Homer in the one panel?
No, I saw Megatron in the one panel, but I didn't see Homer.
He's there if you look.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like this. I think this is fun. This is cool. This is interesting. This is giving you stuff without... It's The second issue is not necessarily an answer to the first issue. It's more of a tease of things to come as we go along here, at least, I think. And we have these varying things. We have Baroness kicking ass. We have Duke and, like you said, Risk basically getting into a, you know, truck not monkey fight kind of thing. And, I really enjoyed this. And I like seeing Clutch going behind enemy lines and sneaking around, but really, like, my biggest shock, you've said this all the time on this podcast, and we don't know when we're going to see what they're doing with Megatron. Well, we didn't see what they're doing with him, but we see that he's still there. So I'm very interested to see how this goes forward.
Yeah, so I think you just summed it up as the best way possible. It's like, now I'm just forgetting how you just said it. It's like,
but basically, they're showing the second issue of G.I. Joe from Skybound Entertainment under Image Comics. What they're doing is they are giving us little things. They're giving us the continuation of the story from the first issue, but they're teasing us with things. They're basically planting the seeds of the future.
So like. So, like, things are happening in this particular issue. They're sort of setting the stage for things to come. You could say that, other than the battle at the beginning, which is one, two, three.
It's like three pages.
Pages at the beginning, but then as you get into the middle, right, there's a lot more of it where they're really, the Joes are getting their asses kicked, essentially.
This is also
packed with a lot of action, right? You could say that it doesn't really move the story along too much. It's really just kind of planting seeds for things that are coming in the future. And when we've seen that in, like, Void Rivals, right, in the issues we've read where that happens in Void Rivals, it's like, oh, it seems like a sort of slow, right? I specifically talked about that. I feel like we have the same thing here, but it's still packed full of action.
Yeah, it's action-packed. It's what I also notice is the same thing I've noticed in almost every one of these. Between Duke, Cobra Commander, Scarlet, and Destro. Ugh, worst drive. Oh, man. We got something to talk about before the end of the show. Speaking of Destro and Mr. Waters. Oh, my God. Talk about that later. Remind me to bring that up.
Okay.
But my point in mentioning all of the previous miniseries is that what they're doing here in G.I. Joe, at least as far as what I can tell from the first two issues, is who's the colorist on this? Isn't that Jordy? Or is that who's the colorist? Yeah, Jordy Belair is the colorist. Yep. Okay. So Jordy Belair is the colorist. And what they're doing is they have taken every single major color from all, like, the blues from Cobra Commander, all the desert colors, the tan, the beige, the mauve, whatever the hell you want to call it, from Duke. Scarlet's not here, but some of the colors from Scarlet, so obviously Destro is here, so some of the colors from Destro. And they have, like, that opening scene with Duke in the Cobra Fang. That's outside of the Cobra Fang being black and the logo of Cobra being red. It's kind of like orange-ish, yellowish because of the gun firing. But if you look at Duke specifically, where he's sitting, he's kind of all beige-ish, as is the top part of the helicopter there. So that's his colors. The coloring is so good in this. Like, this isn't just paint by number. This is take a situation, change the colors to the point of they blend in, and the colors, to me, moved this issue. Like, when Risk shows up, it's kind of a, because he's in a, I don't know if it's technically black and gray, but because it's shadows and whatever, but like, black jacket, gray suit underneath, yada, 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 whatever kind of thing. And between him and Baroness, other than when Duke punches him in the flashback kind of thing, and then they go at it now, like, it just, the colors just pop, and they're great, and they move the story. They move the story almost as much as the writing does, and it's one of those things where that's a good thing. Like, you look at the panel where Cobra Commander is, Megatron is literally in red. Like, he's in, you can see kind of his grayness, but the point is that he Cobra Commander is the main focus, even though Megatron isn't like in the background or anything, even though technically that is a background shot. But you know what I mean? It's like it just works so well and it's so fun. And at the end, having good old Clutch be a Cobra Trooper. And having him in the blue with the Cobra with his helmet off and then the red, the colors, man, just pop all over this issue and they enhance everything else about it.
I think that was one of the biggest issues I had with Duke was the color. But, I mean, it's carried over here well. I think it works well for this particular series. And like you said, we're kind of getting the bits and pieces of the coloring from each individual series that we've seen. Yeah. Where the characters are introduced here in G.I. Joe so mm-hmm. far, and we're seeing those colors intermixed in here, and I think it works really well. A couple of things I wanted to call attention to were after G.I. Joe got their ass kicked, right, and the building blew up from the laser gun going off, right? Yeah. That down at the bottom of page 13 here, right? You got Duke, you got blood running down his face. And the use of the red there, obviously blood is red, but the use of the red there, to kind of, create a juxtaposition between the colors that we've kind of come to know from the Duke series, I think works really well there. And then if you go to the next page, where we see, you know, the rest of the Joes kind of just lying there in the hospital or wherever they're recovering from, I guess this could be back at, the pit, right?
Yep,
could be.
Yep.
We've got, what's the woman's name?
Cover Girl.
Like the way her skin is like burnt there and like the coloring they've got on there, right, to show like the wounds, like that's how you would expect to see like someone who's had a severe amount of burns on their skin. So yeah, the coloring in this particular issue, I think, is fantastic. But those two panels right there in particular, I think it works really well to kind of show like the damage that has been done to this team.
Oh yeah.
Also, her fingers are like very bird claw like in that particular panel.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're
it looks like she's in excruciating pain.
Yeah. And again, being able to show that in a comic through colors is amazing. Because again, like I said a second ago, color can tell the story. Is the writing the thing? Yes, absolutely. But it's also the art of the thing. And, okay, so, like I said before, with Duke coming in the Cobra Fang, so when I read this in cover view, whatever, The panel by panel thing where it takes you, I forget what the Comixology term was for
guided view.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How the hell did I forget about guided view technology? I've been praising guided view technology since 2012.
I was going to say, you're the big
proponent. Yeah. I know. I'm telling you, it's the end of the year and my brain is just checked out on everything. I have forgotten.
Hey, I couldn't think of the word juxtaposition, so.
Yeah, well. I mean, you know, not everyone's watching Clerks right now with all the words in front of the screen half the time. But, you know, so at the beginning of the battle, you go from what the to Duke coming in the Cobra Fang, and the color of the orange and the yellow and the whatever, that's telling the story. Same thing with Cover Girl later. Even though we're reading various parts of the story for the writing, we're also looking at, like, art can tell part of the story, and that's the coolest thing. Like where Cover Girl says, screw the mission, we need to take care of our people first. Like, okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. I'll be damned. And then, how do you like it, you bastards? I know that's technically not how Clutch sounds, but I was having a Cobra Commander moment there. But that image right there, where he's shooting the Cobra Trooper with all the blue and the zap, 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 zap. You know, again, colors. Honestly, in the next panel where Destro says, we cannot allow them to have any of our weapons. Destro's never looked so good in half pink, black and pink. I mean, again, it's the way the color it's not shaded. It's the way that it's presented. And there's a couple of times in this issue, though, that I did not care for Cobra Commander's design because of the way his helmet is. This panel here, I will screenshot this for later, so I can send this to you later. But the panel here where they're, the two of them are talking, it's like, Cobra Commander's helmet has never looked so good, whereas in some of the other parts of the issue, it's like, did the design change? What happened here? Because it looks really weird a couple of the
other times. Certainly got sloppy in some cases.
Yeah, and I don't know why the consistency is off, because it's not like... I could see if the consistency or the or changes were done because it might have been a different artist, but it's not. Like, literally, we're starting with Tom Riley and Jordy Belair. They are the artists on this, along with Russ on the letters. And, yeah, but overall, man, it just... Like, I'm ready for G.I. Joe number 3 right now.
Yeah, like, I'm looking forward to continuing... Yeah, I'm looking forward to continuing this story. A couple of things I wanted to point out. So, or I guess a couple of things that include some questions. Mm-hmm. So this shard, right? Weren't we led to believe that the shard that they were going after was from when the piece of Cybertron landed in the ocean?
Yes. So how did Cobra get it?
Well, no. So they obviously, or the Joes were sent there to protect it. Cobra went there, attacked, they stole it. But when he's saying, let's see here, we're on page, what page is this? Page 14.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you of all people, he's speaking to Destro, right, should know that everything is a weapon depending on who possesses it. And this is from something, ... And then we go to the next page where he's got Megatron in the background, obviously, right, alluding to the fact that this is a piece of Cybertronian tech.
Yeah.
From before our time together. But when you look at it at the bottom of that page, right, they've got it on a cart. Cobra Commander's like bent over looking at it. It looks like a piece of Megatron.
I see here. Let me see what I'm seeing.
And the only thing I can think that Megatron is missing, other than part of his face, arm. Is his arms, right? We know Prime has one of them, but when he broke out of Cobra Law, he got the other one back.
Yeah.
So what is this piece? Is it from Cybertron? Is it a piece of Megatron? What is this?
I don't know. And this is from something from before our time. Okay, so I've got it on like the... Sometimes, folks, when you're using guided view technology on mobile, you have... Oh, I shut my phone off. Wow, that was stupid, Mike. What a moron. I was trying to take a screenshot. Sometimes on guided view, if you change it to the horizontal viewing position, it makes the image larger and you can see things more clearly, sort of, sometimes, if that makes any sense. What happens here is I'm sending this to you now, so that way it's in there. It's in this in the Discord there. So this image of the Cobra Commander with Megatron. Megatron looks like he doesn't have both of his arms there, or is that just me misreading where the wires are on the sides?
No, correct. I think in what you're looking at there, I believe that is the case, because when Cobra Commander last saw him, he did not have any arms.
Okay, so that's what it is. That's what this is. Cobra Commander finds, let's say this is Megatron's left arm, or because Optimus has the right arm, because the right arm has the fusion cannon. I swear, if they had changed Megatron to have a left arm fusion cannon, Transformers fans would riot in the streets. joking, folks, joke. But yeah, he sees this and it reminds him. So that's why. So it isn't where Megatron is now. This is Cobra Commander thinking back. And yeah, this is a flashback memory. This is not Cobra Commander standing in front of Megatron in the current time, because in the current time, with that, does it look like he has a Band-Aid on his faceplate when he says, and this is something from before our time together? I don't know. It's got to be something from before our time together. Okay, so if it's something from before their time together, before he captured Megatron, it probably isn't Megatron's arm. It's got to be something else. But what the is it, people?
So I'm trying to find what issue this is, because I don't recall if it's from Transformers, if it's from one of the G.I. Joes. I don't know.
Yeah, Megatron's first.
When Megatron busted out, right? Because he regained his arm, one of his arms. He was somewhere in the mountains, right? Wherever Cobra Law is located, in the mountains, in the snow. That was the last we saw of him, at least in quote-unquote present time, right? We saw him in issue 13 with Starscream and flashback on Cybertron. But in terms of present time, whatever he busted out of Cobra Law was the last time we saw him. And he regained one of his arms. He had half of his face gone, or one of his eyes gone, whatever it happens to be, his right eye. And we know Prime's got his right arm. Yeah. So if this is a piece of Megatron, I don't know what piece is missing. Because the only piece we know of is the arm that Optimus has. So but when you look at it, it doesn't look like a piece of quote unquote Cybertron. It looks like a fully functional piece of like a robot.
Wait. Okay. So I'm looking again at this panel before we see the Megatron flash. So they're bringing this crate over. Okay.
Destro, but I don't think it's the crate. I think that's the thing.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm trying to figure out what's going on in the scene where, so we, you know, we're at Springfield, the helicopter lands, we get the panel where, like, this technology, where is it from? The crate. So what I'm assuming is in the crate is the guns, because Destro is holding a gun. So I'm assuming we don't see him open the crate. Wow. We don't see him open the goddamn crate, but he has a gun in his hand. So I assume there's guns in the crate. And then we go to the side part where Megatron.
I think he's just holding on to one of his guns. I don't think that has anything to do with the crate.
You don't think he got the gun out of this crate? Maybe this crate is okay.
And in fact, so, if you go back to page 12, you see the full piece, like Mercer's on top of it, flying away in the helicopter.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Now obviously, if it's a piece of Megatron, it's not gray, but it doesn't look like just a chunk of a planet either.
Let me look at this again.
Also, it looks a hell of a lot larger than what I would call a quote unquote shard.
I mean, yeah, this look. Ooh. Okay. Crazy idea. I don't think this is what it is, because I don't put anything past this team. I don't put anything past Skybound, because it's brand new and we have no idea what the hell they're going to do. Looking at this giant thing that, who'd you say that is that's standing
Mercer.
On it? Mercer. Yeah. What if that's a piece of Metroplex? I don't think that's what it is, but that was my first thought looking at that panel.
Does it tie into Mask at all? Because you told me that was coming.
It could, but crazy ass thought was, what if it was a piece of Metroplex? I don't think this is going to. I don't know, dude. I have no idea. Like, I would like
the whole like a scene limb, here, though, right?
Yeah, it looks like a limb. Absolutely, that's what I said. What if it's a piece of Metroplex? But
because
it
looks like it has a wheel, though, right?
Yep.
Like, there's a wheel that looks like a leg and a foot. Right, that's like the whole.
Does Megatron have what? Well, we only see up to his midsection here in this red thing. So, hoping he has his legs.
He had his legs last we knew from when he left Cobra Law.
Okay, well that's good.
Now the question is, if this is a piece of him, if this is part of his leg, is he a triple changer now? Because there's a wheel on here.
Hey, you know. I mean, Hasbro really can't do Gun Megatron anymore, so make him a tank, make him a helicopter. Hell, he could. He's a hel. Which series is it? Is it Earthspark? In Earthspark, he's a helicopter. No, he's not a helicopter in Earthspark. I'm sorry, I misspoke. He's a jet. He's a giant plane in Earth, in Transformers Earthspark. So, honestly, a Megatron triple changer? That would be cool as shit to me. I would love that. That would be great.
Well, so that was my first question. I know we spent a lot of time on that. I think our consensus is it's some sort of limb.
Yeah, something.
Okay. Not a shard of Cybertron.
No, not a shard of Cybertron. Okay.
My second thing I want to call out here is on page 14 at the very top. Mm-hmm. That's this Dr. Archibald Monov, mm-hmm. however you say his last name. So I Googled that before we started recording, and this person is Dr. Venom.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I've heard of the name, but I don't know the history.
Okay, so this says, so from the Marvel comics, Dr. Venom mm-hmm. is the first scientist employed by Cobra. That seems to be the case here. His first yep. major invention for the organization is the brainwave scanner, mentioned here.
Yep.
He gets a chance to show off the evil device when the Baroness captures Snake Eyes, Scarlet, and Zap and brings them to Cobra headquarters in Springfield. Obviously, the team was different here, right? We don't have
right.
Snake Eyes. Baroness yep. is on G.I. Joe at the moment. I have no idea who the hell Zap is. But it seems like we're taking some of the pieces from, you know, story pieces here from the Marvel series and introducing it here in this series.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's fine. Absolutely. I don't mind them introducing concepts from previous things. Or again, that's. I mean, you and I both know this. You know, 40 years of robots. Anytime that at this point, the MacGuffin shows up, it's like, ooh, is Stan Bush going to sing the theme song? Because as soon as that Matrix shows up, it's like, okay. It's over for you, Decepticons. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, let's be fair. Most situations where that's the case, it would be a lot more awesome if they played the Stan Bush song.
Well, yes, obviously. But it's one of those things where, okay, so... You and I are both new to the G.I. Joe scene. I have read a couple of previous G.I. Joe comics when the license was with IDW, but those were specific one-shot stories that I, like, is it World on Fire or whatever it is. Like, I've never, this is the first time in my life, 44 years old, that I've read ongoing G.I. Joe stuff on the regular, on a regular basis. And even though I know a little bit about G.I. Joe, I'm going to defer to all those people who might, the millions and millions of people that listen to this podcast, to say, hey, if we're wrong, please, you know, respectfully correct us or teach us or whatever. But I like learning as we go along here, and I don't mind them taking a concept or an idea, instead of always creating new ideas, you can create new ideas. We need new ideas. Don't get me wrong. But you can take a concept from a Marvel comic as a reference point or as a serviceable fan wank, if you want to call it that, or whatever. Ooh. Well, you know what in a good, you know what I mean? In a good way, in a bad, like, ooh, here's this shiny blue metal thing with good and evil juices in it or whatever. There is no Decepticon Matrix of Leadership, folks. I learned that in 1987. Anyway, long story. Point is that I don't mind them introducing something from before. I don't mind them introducing a brand new whatever we're going to... Like, we mentioned earlier about these new Cobra troopers, these new female troopers, because I'm scrolling all the way back to the bottom... The back Valkyries? Of the issue. Yeah, the Valkyries. Yeah. And I know they're probably... I'd have to look at the G.I. Joe Wikipedia, but technically not new. But, you know, introducing the Valkyries and having a cover with the Cobra Valkyrie, you know, done by Derek Chu. Oh, man, I want that cover. Like, literally, I'll put it on my wall right now with the rest of the Transformer stuff. But no, I mean, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm okay. I'm enjoying this. At the end of the day, so far in the first two issues, there is nothing that has made me say, okay, sorry, Jesse, you got to find somebody else because I'm done. I'm not done. So far, in only two issues, I'm more excited now than when I was when we first started reading Duke and Cobra Commander.
Yeah, no, I would 100% agree with that sentiment.
Because, again, we want to see what happens in the story. We want to, and again, because this is the Energon universe, and... Cobra Commander has Megatron. Like,
We need to see it. We need to see what happens to Megatron, because, oh my god, we care about a villain. Holy crap, it's the end of the world. Can't care about bad guys. Oh my god, you are the most evilest person ever. If you care
about bad guys. My only issue with G.I. Joe still just continues to be the way that Duke is drawn. I do not like that face. Just give me the Sunbow design, please.
It's kind of... Sorta, but not really the Sunbow.
No, not even kind of sorta. I just don't like it. I mean, it changes from like panel to panel. It's just like,
yes, it does.
I don't like look at the bottom of like page 17, and then go to the very next page, and it's like he's got like some goofy face on page 17. On page 18, it's like I'm this big gruff guy, and then yep. I don't know. I don't like it. The last thing I wanted to call out here is something that I don't believe we've seen in any of the other Energon universe comics so far. And that is starting on page 23, we get just random illustrations of some of the characters in the series.
Yep.
And they're in, I don't know what these poses are called. It'd be similar to like a T pose for a character in like a video game, for example. Yeah, where they're all so, just kind of,
no, go ahead.
I was going to just say they're all just in sort of like a standard pose. It shows some of their weaponry. Yeah, I don't know if that's a thing.
These are basically profile shots. It's a way to show off the arts, like illustration done by Tom Riley for Duke, and I'm assuming for all the rest as well. What's interesting to me is we have Duke's single... And Duke's... Okay, so Duke's... drawing here, he's got his tan hair, he's got his tan face, he's got his yellow tannish shirt, and then the rest of him is gray and green. He's got more gray and green than tan on him at this point in that specific design in this art piece here. And then we go to the next page where we see Baroness, like you said, Cobra Commander and Destro. And we see the G.I. Joe version of Baroness. We see the main version of Cobra Commander. We see two different versions of Destro. We see the regular version that we know with guns. And, hey, is that a Walther PPK? Because if that's a Walther PPK, he's got Megatron. Not really. But then we see his tuxedo, his red tuxedo suit. I like this. Comic companies have done this for years. Artists have done this for years when on issues when they want to show you a bonus thing before. Like, usually you would get this kind of stuff along with all of the covers in a trade. Like, if you buy G.I. Joe Volume 1, whenever it comes, or if you bought Scarlet, or if you bought Cobra Commander, because I'm not mentioning the other two. If you bought the trades to those, I'm sure there would be some sort of art design or some sort of something in there. And I think it's just to get, like, literally, that's all we get. We get this, hello, readers. As you know, I'm not usually the one writing in these books, but I often get asked about the new G.I. Joe designs. So yeah, this is just a spotlight on Tom Riley. This is awesome. Like, I didn't need a letter section this issue. This is Tom Riley. This is the artist talking to, like, I'm not going to read all of this because I can't on my phone. My eyes are just like, But, no, I'm loving the second issue. We hear from the artist himself. That's awesome. I love seeing that process. That's cool. And again, because it is only the second issue, I like when they throw in behind, it's a behind the scenes look. I like that. I think that's cool. It's like getting a, you know, it's like watching a bonus feature on a DVD. But you actually get to, you know, you're hearing from the guy who draws the book. And how he comes up with the designs. I think that's super cool.
All I know is I still don't see my picture on Team Joe or Team Cobra in the back. So.
Did you send in all your box top cereals? Your cereal box tops?
I did. And a self-addressed stamped envelope. Yep. All right. So anything else to close out issue 2?
Oh, I'm very excited. It looks really cool. I'm more excited now than when I was when we did issue 1, because I want to know what happens to all these characters. I'm invested in these characters. I am loving this story.
It is refreshing and all of that good stuff. So yeah, no, I'm excited for the future of Joe and Cobra.
I am as well. And I'm, after reading this, I started to wonder, have we seen Megatron more in G.I. Joe than we have in the Transformers so far?
Well, yes, because the thing is, Cobra has him. Like, yes, we saw Megatron in the...
Well, no, he broke out, remember?
No, I... Wait, what?
Yeah, Megatron is loose.
Oh, no.
The juice is loose, man.
Oh, no. Thundercats on the loose. Great. I don't remember. But the point is that we've seen Megatron more in G.I. Joe than we've seen him in
Transformers. Oh, that's what it is. The free comic book day issue. That's when he got free.
Oh! Yeah, that one. I need to reread that, I guess, because I completely forgot.
Yeah, so at the end, he has his arm back, his left right. one. It says, I'm coming for you, Starscream. And it says, to be continued in Transformers.
In Transformers, right. But in Transformers, so far, after Free Comic Book Day issue, we've only seen him in flashbacks in that crappily put in 13 and 14. Weirdest order ever for a comic book series. Sorry, not sorry, Skybound, Image. Whoever was in charge of that idea, fire that person.
You mean like, the best like mini arc of all time?
Starscream, just shoot me with your null ray so I can be nullified to the... Ugh. It was the stupidest decision ever. Go back to Transformers 13 and 14 and hear us discuss how crap that was. So stupid.
Well, on that note...
Yes. Previews for 3 and 4. Yes. All right, so 3 and 4, we're going to get started here with issue 3. We've got Baroness in one cover. We've got, I think that's Cover Girl. I don't remember who that is, in the black leather with the red and ooh la la. We've got Baroness in another cover.
That's your girl, man. Power Glide girl.
Oh, yeah. That's Astoria. Blah, blah.
Yeah,
you got Baroness in a second cover there. We got the Joe team with Baroness and Clutch. We got Duke and them, and then so my three favorite covers actually out of this is the Baroness with the G.I. Joe file card kind of look, the first cover, the Astoria cover, and then the Cobra Commander cover. I love that. I think that is so cool. So. January 15th, 2025, 32 pages, full color, $3.99, G.I. Joe number 3, Joshua Williamson, Tom Riley, and Jordy Belair. The biggest comic book launch of the decade gets deadly as tensions rise within G.I. Joe and punches are thrown. Cobra hunts a venomous new ally. Dun, dun, dun.
There's your mask tie-in, right?
Absolutely.
Weren't they a Cobra, Viper, something?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. And then G.I. Joe number 4 comes out in February. I am looking for a date. I don't see it off the... I'm looking at a different thing for this because it's weird and stupid. It's coming out sometime in February. Oh, February 19th. There it is. I couldn't find it. Couldn't see the damn thing. The race is on. Both Cobra and the Joes are in a deadly contest to retrieve Cybertronian tech first. Meanwhile, a Joe learns Cobra Commander's secrets the hard way.
So, you think that's Clutch?
probably.
Yeah, that'd
wouldn't
be my
surprise
guess.
Me. Yeah. Yep. That's what's coming up for Joe.
By the way, that particular issue has a variant cover with more of the Valkyries. So if you're kind of interested in seeing more Valkyrie design, you can check out the alt covers for that. All right, plugs. What do you got for plugs?
Go over to geekcastradio.com where I am losing the battle against doing a daily podcast with my buddy Dave. We are doing 9 days of Columbo. We are going back to the original Columbo television series with Peter Falk, and we are discussing all 9 episodes of the first season. We'll be going in order in the future as well. For future seasons, we've got 2 or 3 episodes of The Pull Bag and more. Geekcastradio.com.
And my plugs, you can check us out at anothercomicreview.com. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/matrix_prime. And you can find me on Blue Sky. I'm at Jesse Early. That's JesseEarley. Look for me on there. A lot of people from the TF Wire days has started to pop up on there. So if you were a listener back during those times, you may want to check out Blue Sky because some of the people are popping up on there again. So, all right. So I think that's it. Coming up next, we have our review of Transformers number 15, and that will be out very shortly. And yeah, so until then, this is Jesse signing off. Another comic review in Night the Night. Transformers War and G.I. Joe's Fight. Foreign rivals clash in a flash of light. Tune in now for your comic fights. Hell of a comic review. Ignite the Night. Transformers War and G.I. Joe's Fight. Foreign rivals clash in a flash of light.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullback, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/ThePullback. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullback and @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.